Pop's vacant gaze held as he left Laverdier's. It held as he crossed the sidewalk with the boxes of film in his hand. It broke and became an expression of somehow unsettling alertness as he stepped off into the gutter and stopped there, with one foot on the sidewalk and one planted amid the litter of squashed cigarette butts and empty potato chip bags. Here was another Pop Molly would not have recognized, although there were those who had been sharp-traded by the old man who would have known it quite well. This was neither Merrill the lecher, nor Merrill the robot, but Merrill the animal with its wind up. All at once, he was there. In a way, he seldom allowed himself to be there in public. Showing so much of one's true self in public was not, in Pop's estimation, a good idea. This morning, however, he was far from being in command of himself, and there was no one out to observe him anyway. If there had been, that person would not have seen Pop the folksy Cracker Barrel philosopher, or even Pop the sharp trader, but something like the spirit of the man. In that moment of being totally there, Pop looked like a rogue dog himself, a stray who has gone feral, and now pauses amid a midnight henhouse slaughter, raggedy ears up, head cocked, blood-streaked teeth showing a little as he hears some sound from the farmer's house and thinks of the shotgun with its wide black holes like a figure eight rolled onto its side. The dog knows nothing of figure eights, but even a dog may recognize the dim shape of eternity if its instincts are honed sharp enough. Across the town square, he could see the urine-yellow front of the Emporium Galorium. Standing slightly apart from its nearest neighbors, the vacant building, which had housed the village washtub until earlier that year, Nan's Luncheonette, and You So and So, the dress and notions shop run by Evie Chalmers' great-granddaughter, Polly, a woman of whom we must speak at another time. There were slant parking spaces in front of all the shops on Lower Main Street, and all of them were empty, except for one, which was just now being filled with a Ford station wagon Pop recognized. The light throb of its engine was clearly audible in the morning still air. Then it cut off. The brake lights went out, and Pop pulled back the foot which had been in the gutter and prudently withdrew himself to the corner of Laverdier's. Here he stood, as still as that dog who has been alerted in the henhouse by some small sound, the sort of sound which might be disregarded in the killing frenzy of dogs neither so old nor so wise as this one. John Delavan got out from behind the wheel of the station wagon. The boy got out on the passenger side. They went to the door of the Emporium Galorium. The man began to knock impatiently, loud enough so the sound of it came as clearly to Pop as the sound of the engine had done. Delavan paused. They both listened. And then Delavan started in again, not knocking now, but hammering at the door. And you didn't have to be a goddamn mind reader to know the man was steamed up.
They know, Pop thought. Somehow they know. Damn good thing I smashed the fucking camera.
He stood a moment longer, nothing moving except his hooded eyes, and then he slipped around the corner of the drugstore and into the alley between it and the neighboring bank. He did it so smoothly that a man 50 years younger might have envied the almost effortless agility of the movement. This morning, Pop figured, it might be a little wiser to go back home by Backyard Express.